preach in Jesus' name. I know Brian had just prayed that I'd have peace. And I have to confess, I was sitting there, the old accuser came to me and just attacked me, that you don't have nothing to share. And I started agreeing with him. It's just the same old story that everybody knows it. And I was in a battle. Then the Lord, I just cried out to God. I said, Lord, help me. And he brought this song to my mind. And actually what I was going to speak on was what a paradox is, or paradoxes in the scripture. So he was accusing me of the old story. Let's turn to 581. I'm going to sing the first and third verse. The songwriter says, there is a story ever new. I'll tell it over and over. So I want to rejoice for victory. Sing the first and third verse. There. Yeah, well, I was just going through the scriptures lately and going over the paradoxes in the scripture. A paradox is seemingly that it contradicts the other scripture, but or situation. But it really, what it does, it reveals a deeper spiritual truth. If you look into it, when we understand it. I know we know all these things, but when we properly understand what it's saying, it often highlights the contrast between human perspective and divine reality. It's often used by Jesus to describe the nature of the upside down kingdom of God. One of the first ones I thought of, just as I was thinking, meditating on it, was the paradox of an almighty, all-powerful God coming in the weakness and meekness of a baby. The contrast there. That blessed me. And then in John chapter 1 says the Word, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word, capital W, was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Uh, Then it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was God and the Word was flesh. I wrote some down. The first one I had is that we are worthless servants. Luke 17:10 says, so likewise, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Then Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Second one I have is, to yoke or not to yoke. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. Galatians 5, verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Speaking of two yokes, we're to take on the yoke of Jesus and learn of Him. The other yoke, we don't want that yoke. It's the yoke of bondage. Next was Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we're called to hunger and thirst. Then John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. So first He says to hunger and thirst, and then He says we're never going to hunger nor thirst. But we understand. We'll be satisfied. I just wrote, we're satisfied. We're not, before we were hungry and thirsting after every wrong thing, but now we found fulfillment and we're satisfied and we're still hungry and thirsting, but it's for righteousness and for truth. The next one I have is Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. James 2:24 says, ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's on faith and works. We've all been through that. Things been beat up from all sides and all directions, but we understand the truth that's in there. The next one I have is the Christian life easy or hard? Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said in Matthew 7:14, He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So the one He says is easy, and the other it's hard. But there again, I trust we understand the truth that Jesus, it's easy. The life of the sinner is hard, but yet that it's a straight gate and it's a narrow way. It's not the way of the world. Next one I put down is Jesus Christ a peacemaker? For unto us, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he's the Prince of Peace. Matthew 10:34 says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword." There again, he's still the Prince of Peace. But when you confess Jesus Christ, it brings division. It brings separation from the world, and it brings animosity against you because you have connected with him. The next one is the paradox of the cross. I'm going to turn to that. I don't have them wrote down. There's a few more verses there. It's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 through 25. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world, this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." There again, we understand that it makes absolutely no sense to the world, the preaching of the cross. In other words, that if we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross and repent of our sins, we'll have eternal life. The world looks at that and says, that's no way. But that's the gospel. That's the truth. We believe it as truth. Life through death. In Mark 8. Mark 8:35. "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." There again, I think we all know that without death, there's no resurrection. You're either dead in your sins, or you died to your sins, and then you were resurrected to newness of life. There again, it would absolutely make no sense to the unsaved. I found this, I thought it was pretty good. It says, "These paradoxes are meant to contrast the earthly view with the heavenly view. There is a difference between our material situation and our spiritual reality, although we experience both at the same time." That's how it is. We experience both at the same time, yet there's a difference between our material situation, what we're facing, and our spiritual reality. I was blessed by that. Another one I thought of was in Philippians. Well, no, there's one in Corinthians I had first. Must have wrote that down wrong. Okay. Second Corinthians 6:8-10. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. I like that one as well. Then, as Paul said in, I'm not sure where it's at. I think it's in Galatians. Yeah, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. That's another very confusing to the world, would make absolutely no sense. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm just going to read the chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, at touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended by, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us not therefore as many as be perfect, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Just a little testimony on that scripture. I remember when we first got an English Bible and started reading it in English, and I was seeing a lot of light, and I considered myself a real good Amishman. I tried to do everything that was required of the church, and which is good. And I had the approval of man. I remember the ministry, some in the ministry said, you know, encouraged me that they appreciated what I was doing, all those things. And one morning we were going to Mary May's sister for church down on 101. I lived on Ricker Road, way out on Ricker Road at the time. So I was reading my Bible and she's driving a horse, and we took 37 to Notestein, and we're going down Notestein, and this scripture came alive in my heart. I felt that God was drawing me and showing me that everything I was trusting in, he was not interested in. He wanted me. I needed him. I needed Christ. And I remember taking the lines from my wife and the buggy off ahead of me. I'm not going to mention his name, but he was reading his Bible in English as well. And I felt we were kind of on the same page, what we're seeking and finding truth. And so I sped the horse up and got his attention and flagged him down, stopped him. And I was excited. Got off my buggy and went up beside him and read some of these verses to him. I said, look, it says right here. I said, this is, he did everything, you know, but he said he counted as nothing. It was, and I said, you know, I'm Amish, my parents are Amish, my grandparents are Amish, and we're good people. And I had long hair and long beard and black hat, and I thought I was in. And I just remember reading the verse. I said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I said, that's supposed to be me. You know what? I remember he just looked down, listened to me, and he goes, uh-huh. And I went back to my buggy, and I felt dejected, or I just felt, I didn't feel good. I thought, well, maybe I started being condemned, and maybe something's not right. But it wasn't long when God just opened more truth and took me on. So thank the Lord. Just some scriptures I wanted to share. I know you all know them, but I was blessed by them, and God bless you.